أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. سورة الإسراء number 49 onwards. وقالوا أإذا كنا عظاما ورفاتا. And they say, when we are bones and crumbled particles, will we truly be resurrected as a new creation? قل كونوا حجارة أو حديدا. Say, be you stones or iron or any creation of that which is great within your breasts, what you think of is great. Allah says, even if you are that, you will be resurrected back to life. And Allah says, and they will say, who will restore us? Say, he who brought you forth the first time. Then they will nod their heads toward you and say, when is that? Say, perhaps it will be soon. They will nod their heads in disbelief and ridicule. Allah says, on the day he will call you and you will respond with praise of him and think that you had not remained in the world except for a little. And tell my servants to say that which is best. Indeed, Satan induces dissension among them. Indeed, Satan is ever to mankind a clear enemy. This is where the problem lies with our ummah today. We have refused to recognize Satan as the enemy, Shaitan as the enemy. Instead, we have named each other as enemies. Allah says, you just be careful what comes out of your mouth. قُلْ لِعِبَادِي, tell my servants, يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَن, say that which is the best. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeatedly warned us of the pitfalls of our tongue. When Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that which would entitle him to enter Jannah and save him from hellfire, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the pillars of Islam and informed Mu'adh radiallahu anhu of the importance of the night prayers, tahajjud, and of jihad. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, should I not inform you of the sheet anchor of all of this? And then took hold of his tongue and said, exercise restraint on it. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu inquired, O Messenger of Allah, will we be held responsible for what we say with it? Thereupon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Mu'adh, will anything else besides irresponsible talk cause the people to be thrown in hellfire upon their faces? Subhanallah. Hadith in Sahih Bukhari states, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed a servant may say a word, one word, from which Allah's pleasure is gained, and the servant does not realize it. Allah will raise him up levels. Indeed a servant may say a word, one word, from which Allah's displeasure is gained, and he does not realize it. Allah will put him in Jahannam due to it. There are multiple references in the Sunnah about watching our tongues. How many times have we regretted what came out of our mouths? Or have we been aware of its impact? This is the importance of it. Allah warns us against Shaitan. Allah says, he will use your words. Be careful of what you say. He will use your words to have you thrown into hellfire. And he will use your words to start enmity between each other, to incite anger and hatred amongst each other. We need to be polite. We need to be halim, tolerant toward each other. We need to be kind. We need to overlook people. We don't have to correct people all the time on their tiniest mistakes. We should not cut down other people. And whenever something like this happens, remember Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us and give us victory over shaitan. Allah says, your Lord is most knowing of you. If he wills, he will have mercy upon you. Or if he wills, he will punish you. And we have not sent you Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over them as a manager, meaning everyone is responsible for their own deeds once they have the message. And your Lord is most knowing of whoever is in the heavens and the earth. And we have made some of the prophets exceed others in various ways. And to David we gave the book of Psalms. Say, invoke those who have claimed as gods besides him, for they do not possess the ability for removal of adversity from you or for its transfer to someone else. These so-called gods, they cannot transfer that adversity from you to someone else, let alone remove it. Allah says, those whom they invoke, seek means of access to their Lord. Allah says that those very deities that these people make dua to, amongst the righteous of Allah's creation, such as angels, prophets, deceased scholars, Allah says all of those people whom they make dua to, yad'una yabtahuna ila rabbihimul wasilata. They themselves seek a means of access to their Lord, striving as to which of them would be nearest. And they hope for His mercy and fear His punishment. Indeed, the punishment of your Lord is ever feared. It is feared by the angels. It is feared by all the prophets. It is feared by those deceased scholars. It is feared by the Salihin, the Siddiqeen. Allah says they all do. So which of them would you ask for dua? Which of them would you turn to and seek their help? Allah says, and there is no city but that we will destroy it before the day of resurrection or punish it with a severe punishment. Why? Because of the sins of its inhabitants. That has ever been in the register inscribed. This is the way of Allah. And this is in that register, the preserved slate, Allahul Mahfuz, which is with Allah. And nothing has prevented us from sending signs, miracles, except that the former peoples have denied them. And we gave Thamud, the she-camel, the female camel, as a visible sign, but they wronged her. They cut her hamstrings because they did not believe. And we sent not the signs except as a warning. And remember, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we told you, indeed your Lord has encompassed the people in His knowledge, in His power, meaning that Allah would protect them from harm. And we did not make the sight of which we showed you except as a trial for the people. What was the sight that Allah has showed him? During the Mi'raj, the ascension into the heavens, everything that Allah showed the Prophet, Allah says, and we did not make the sight which we showed you except as a trial for the people, as was the accursed tree mentioned in the Quran. What is the accursed tree? It's the tree in hellfire, Zakum. Allah describes it in Surah Ad-Dukhan. Indeed, the tree of Zakum is food for the sinful. Like murky oil, it boils within bellies, like the boiling of scalding water. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw it in Mi'raj when he went on the ascension. It has bitter fruit, and they're covered with thorns, like the heads of devils. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that was a trial. All of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a trial for people. Allah says, and we threaten, that is, warn them, but it increases them not except in great transgression. And mention when we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam, and they prostrated except for Iblis. He said, should I prostrate to one you created from clay? Iblis sneers. Iblis said, do you see this one whom you have honored above me? If you delay me, meaning my death, until the day of resurrection, I will surely destroy his descendants, except for a few. What sheer rage! What immense hatred! What astounding insolence in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, go. Allah said, go, for whoever of them follows you, indeed hell will be the recompense of all of you, an ample recompense. And incite to senselessness whoever you can among them with your voice, and assault them with your horses and foot soldiers, and become a partner in their wealth and their children, and promise them, but Satan does not promise them, except delusion. So Allah says, go ahead. Incite into senselessness, and this is what Satan does. He incites to senselessness. People lose their intelligence. People lose their ability to distinguish between the right and wrong. How does he do that? Allah says, with your voice. He whispers. He whispers into our hearts, into our minds. He plants an idea. Sometimes he does that through the voices of human beings. Human shayateen. They plant ideas into our heads, then they encourage us, and they tell us, it's okay, it's all right, it's not a big deal at all. Go ahead. I'm with you. Through obscene poetry, lyrics, sounds that we want to hear over and over again, Allah says, and assault them with your horses, things that are going to attack us, right? People who are angry with us. Full force assault on our iman through peer pressure, through insults, through mockery, through the media. Allah says, and foot soldiers, not just the ones who are riding on horses, the fast ones, the slow ones as well, the foot soldiers, the minor ones as well. In every single way, Allah says, and become a partner in their wealth. Earn from haram, waste money, spend in haram, and become a partner in their children. The love of children inspires us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For children, we compromise our principles, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go overboard in our love for them, the very children that Allah has provided. And Allah says, and promise them that it's going to be all right. It will be just fine. You will be successful. It will not harm you. Allah says, wastafziz. Wastafziz meaning gradually fold them. The plot of shaitan is so gradual and so secret and stealthy that most people fall prey to it. However, Allah says, inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. Indeed, over my believing servants, there is no authority for you. And sufficient is your Lord as disposer of affairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects his believing servants. Allah reminds us, do not listen. This is shaitan. Allah says, it is your Lord who drives the ship for you through the sea, that you may seek of his bounty. Indeed, he is ever to you merciful. Have we ever thought of that? When we see a sailing ship or a boat, or we have ever traveled on one, that it is Allah who makes it sail. Those are the laws of Allah, and he sends the wind to move it. Allah says, and when adversity touches you at sea, lost are all those you invoke except for him. Allah says, you conveniently forget those other deities, but when he delivers you to the land, you turn away from him, and ever is man ungrateful. Then do you feel secure that instead he will not cause a part of the land to swallow you or send against you a storm of stones? Then you would not find for yourselves an advocate. Or do you feel secure that he will not send you back into it, meaning the sea, another time, and send upon you a hurricane of wind and drown you for what you denied? Then you would not find for yourselves against us an avenger. Do not commit shirk. When you ask Allah and when he grants it to you, do not be grateful to anyone else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not assign that to good luck. Do not assign it to any other pious predecessor or someone else you think has helped you from the unseen. It is only Allah. It is only Allah. Dhalikumullahu rabbukum. That is Allah, your Rabb. Allah says, and we have certainly honored the children of Adam and carried them on the land and sea and provided for them the good things and preferred them over much of what we have created with definite preference. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ Bani Adam. Who is Bani Adam? The children of Adam. Are they Muslims? Not just those. What about believers of other faiths? Yes, of course. And also Christians, Jews, Hindus, atheists, agnostics, Buddhists, you name it. If it's a human being, it is a child of Adam alayhi salam. And what has Allah said about the child of Adam alayhi salam? وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا We have certainly honored every child of Adam alayhi salam is honorable in the eyes of Allah, because Allah says that we have preferred them over much of what we have created with definite preference. And this is how we need to view it. The Quran tells us that all of the children of Adam are honored by Allah. Every single human being's life is honorable, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. Mention of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the day we will call forth from every people with their record of deeds. Then whoever is given his record in his right hand, those will read their records, and injustice will not be done to them, even as much as a thread inside the date seed. And whoever is blind in this life will be blind in the hereafter, and more astray in way. And indeed, they were about to tempt you away from that which we revealed to you, in order to make you invent about us something else. And then they would have taken you as a friend. Allah says, there are people who are blind in this world. So in the hereafter, they will be blind too. They will not be able to see their way above the Sirat, above hellfire, over which every single one of us has to pass. Why is that? They will say, Allah, why have you resurrected me as blind? Whereas in this world I could see. Allah says, you were blind toward me, you forgot me, so I have forgotten you today. Allah says, the kuffar were pressurizing you to invent something about the Quran, something else, some compromise. And if you had done that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says, they would certainly have taken you as a friend. And isn't that true? Don't people even today want us to compromise our religion? They want the same thing. Make changes in your religion. Why do you have to keep following the Quran? The same old, same old. That was for another era, another time. Make changes today. Even some Muslims say that. Subhanallah. Allah says, if you do that, people will take you as a friend. Suddenly you will be very popular. If you follow something other than the true sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will be well accepted. Accepted as moderate, whatever that means. So Allah tells the Prophet, peace be upon him, and if we had not strengthened you, you would have almost inclined to them a little. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always prevents his prophets from committing sins. Allah says, then if you had, we would have made you taste double punishment in life and double after death. Then you would not find for yourself against us a helper. Allah is addressing this to who? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. Allah says, and indeed they were about to provoke, meaning drive you from the land, Makkah, to evict you therefrom. And then when they do, they will not remain there after you except for a little, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace them. He will take away authority of that land from them. And that is what happened only 10 years after the Prophet's migration. Makkah was completely cleared of his enemies. Allahu Akbar, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, that is our established way for those we have sent before you of our messengers. And you will not find in our way any alteration. The word Allah uses here is sunnah. Sunnata. Sunnata man qad arsalna qablaka mir rusulina. Sunnah. This is the sunnah of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave any disbelievers behind after they have disobeyed their prophet. And the sunnah means now the way of Allah, the established way of Allah. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the established way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of being a Muslim, a true slave of Allah. May Allah help us to follow his sunnah. Ameen. Allah says, أقم الصلاة, establish prayer at the decline of the sun from its meridian until the darkness of the night. This period includes Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha prayers. Allah says, and also the Quran of dawn, meaning the Quran at Fajr time. Indeed, the recitation of dawn is ever witness. Special angels listen to the recitation of the Quran at dawn after Fajr prayers. Allah says, and from part of the night, pray with it, meaning the recitation of the Quran. It literally means arise from sleep for prayer. The Hajjad means to arise from sleep for prayer. Allah says, wake up for the Hajjad prayers. As additional worship for you, it is expected that your Lord will resurrect you to a praise station. The Tahajjud prayer was fard upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but in fact, all of the Sahaba and their family members and their servants as well would get up at night to pray Tahajjud. It became the established way for believers. There are mutawatir ahadith, meaning ahadith reported by a significant number of narrators throughout the chain of narration, whose agreement upon Allah is impossible. These mutawatir ahadith are reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends every night to the lowest heaven in the last third of the night. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Our Lord descends to the lowest heaven every night when the last third of the night begins, when He says, 'Who calls me to answer Him? Who asks me to give Him? Who asks me for forgiveness to forgive Him?'" And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best prayer after the obligatory prayers is a night prayer." This is from Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, was asked, "What prayer is most virtuous after the obligatory prayers?" He said, "Prayer in the depths of the night." And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hold fast to night prayer, for it was the way of the righteous before you, a way of drawing closer to your Lord, an expiation for wrong deeds, and a shield from sin." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Spread salam, feed others, maintain family ties, and pray at night when others sleep, and you will enter heaven safely." This is an extraordinary time of the night, the last one third of the night. So count the hours between Isha and Fajr. And in the last few hours, one third of the night, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends every night to see how we are doing. Himself. Alhamdulillah. Allah says in the Quran, "Surely the night vigil is a time when impression is more keen and speech more certain. Surely you have by day a chain of business, so remember the name of your Lord and devote yourself with a complete devotion." And then Allah says, "It is expected that your Lord will resurrect you to a praise station." What is this praise station? Maqama Mahmuda. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the position of intercession by permission of Allah and the highest degree in paradise. So every time we hear the adhan, we're supposed to repeat after it the words of the adhan and then ask Allah this dua. Allahumma rabba hazihi ad-da'wati at-tamma was-salati al-qa'ima ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila وَبَعَثُوا مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدَّهُ. O Allah, Lord of this perfect call and the prayer to be offered, grant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the privilege and also the eminence and resurrect him to the praised position that you have promised. So if a person does that, after every adhan when we make this dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that person will be granted his intercession on the day of resurrection. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. This was reported by Al-Bukhari. After that, we are supposed to recite Durood Ibrahimi upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah says, and also say, وَقُلْ and say, رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ سُلْطَانًا نَصِيرًا. And say, "My Lord, cause me to enter a sound entrance and to exit a sound exit, and grant me from yourself a supporting authority." What is a sound entrance and a sound exit? The sound entrance into Medina at the time of emigration or into the grave. An exit from Mecca or from the grave at the time of resurrection. And this dua is important for us as well, because we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prove to us and to others that we are on the right path. رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ, the truthful one, the entrance that is truthful. وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ, the truthful exit. But in order to do that, we need powerful support. So we ask Allah, وَجَعَلِّي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ سُلْطَانًا نَصِيرًا, Sultan, a great, powerful, clear authority. Allah says and say, "Truth has come and falsehood has departed." So it is as if the dua has been answered. Allah says, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Indeed, falsehood is by its very nature bound to depart. And when did the Prophet ﷺ say these words? When he was destroying the idols on the day of the conquest of Makkah. Allah says, وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارة. And we send down of the Quran that which is healing and mercy for the believers, but it does not increase the wrongdoers except in loss. And when we bestow favor upon man, meaning the disbeliever, he turns away and distances himself. And when evil touches him, he is ever despairing. Like a pendulum, one way and then the other way. There is no consistency in a disbeliever. Remember what the Prophet, peace be upon him, has said, that the affair of a believer is very strange. When good touches him, and this is in mafhum, in meaning, he said whenever good touches him, he is grateful and that is good for him. And when difficulty touches him, he is patient and that is good for him. So everything is good for a believer, and his or her relationship with Allah does not change. It does not hinge on events and circumstances. Allah says, and when evil touches him, he is ever despairing. Say, each works according to his manner, but your Lord is most knowing of who is best guided in way. Have a consistent relationship with Allah. That is the best guidance. In this ayah, Allah uses the word shakilatihi. Every person works according to their shakila, shakl. Shakl means outward appearance. Allah says, everyone has a manner and way of doing things, but your Lord is most knowing of who is best guided in way. Outwardly they may appear to be guided, but only Allah knows what is inside of them. Allah then says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. And they ask you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the soul, because the Jewish scholars would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, if you are the true prophet, tell us what the ruh is. Say, the soul is the affair, mean concern of my Lord, and you, mankind, have not been given of knowledge except a little. And if we willed, we could surely do away with that which we revealed to you. Then you would not find for yourself concerning it an advocate against us. Do not ask arrogant questions, questions stemming out of arrogance. Even they knew, the Bani Israel, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not revealed of the unseen much to us except that which is beneficial to us. Allah says, whatever is in the Quran is enough for us. And Allah has left it with us. He could have taken it away from us. Except we have left it with you, Allah says, as a mercy from your Lord. Indeed, His favor upon you has ever been great. So what this is, fadl, which is kabira, it is the Quran. Allah says, say, if mankind and the jinn gathered in order to produce the like of this Quran, they could not produce the like of it, even if they were to each other assistance. And we have certainly diversified for the people in this Quran from every kind of example, but most of the people refused anything except disbelief. And they say, we will not believe you until you break open for us from the ground a spring, or until you have a garden of palm trees and grapes and make rivers gush forth within them in force and abundance, or you make the heaven fall upon us in fragments as you have claimed, or you bring Allah and the angels before us. Subhanallah. And they say, or you have a house of ornament, gold, or you descend into the sky, and even then we will not believe in your ascension until you bring down to us a book we may read. Say, exalted is my Lord, was I ever but a human messenger? Why are you asking me to do all of these things? I am just a human messenger. Subhana Rabbi, Allah is perfect. And what prevented the people, Allah says, from believing when guidance came to them, except that they said, this very thing, Allah says, has Allah sent a human messenger? Subhanallah. Allah says, this is the very problem that they have, is that Allah has sent a human messenger, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam keeps saying, I am nothing but a human messenger. So accept the guidance, accept the Quran. Say, if there were upon the earth angels walking securely, we would have sent down to them from the heaven an angel as a messenger. Allah says, why would I send a messenger as an angel? That would only be relevant to a community of angels. We need to have a human messenger so we know how to and learn how to implement the Quran in our lives. Say, sufficient is Allah as witness between me and you. Indeed, He is ever concerning His servants, acquainted and seeing. Allah watches everything. And whoever Allah guides, He is the rightly guided. And whoever He sends astray, you will never find for them protectors besides Him. And we will gather them on the day of resurrection, fallen on their faces, blind, dumb, and deaf. Their refuge is hell. Every time it subsides, we increase them in blazing fire. That is their recompense, because they disbelieved in our verses and said, when we are bones and crumbled particles, will we truly be resurrected in a new creation? Do they not see that Allah, who created the heavens and earth, is the one able to create the likes of them? And He has appointed for them a term about which there is no doubt, but the wrongdoers refuse anything except disbelief. Say to them, if you possess the depositories of the mercy of my Lord, then you would withhold out of fear of spending, and ever man has been stingy. And we had certainly given Moses 9 evident signs. What were these 9 miracles that he came with? He had the asa, which turned into a serpent, the glowing hand. And then the Egyptians were struck one after another by natural disasters, which were removed only after Musa alayhi salam would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Egyptians would plead with him. And these natural disasters came so that they would learn their lesson and let the children of Israel go. But they didn't. What were these natural disasters? Famine, drought, blood, crickets, lice, insects, frogs. All of these are mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf. Allah says, and we had certainly given Moses 9 evident signs, so ask the children of Israel about. When he came to them, and Pharaoh said to him, indeed, I think, O Moses, that you are affected by magic. Moses said, you have already known that none has sent down these signs except the Lord of the heavens and the earth as evidence. And indeed, I think, O Pharaoh, that you are destroyed. This was a warning to him. So he intended to drive them out from the lands of Pharaoh, intended to drive Musa and Harun alayhi salam out of the land. Allah says, but we drowned him and those with him all together, all at once. And we said after him, that is Pharaoh, to the children of Israel, dwell in the land, and when there comes a promise of the hereafter, we will bring you forth in one gathering. And with the truth we have sent it, meaning the Quran, down, and with the truth it has descended. And we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a bringer of good news and a warner. And it is a Qur'an which we have separated by intervals, that you might recite it to the people over a prolonged period. And we have sent it down progressively. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that? So that the Sahaba, the early Muslims, would learn how to implement the Qur'an. The ayat of the Qur'an were sent down according to the event that was taking place on ground. And later, the different ayat and surahs were compiled in the format that we see today. There was wisdom in the teaching and instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, say, believe in it or do not believe. Indeed, those who were given knowledge before it, the Quran, when it is recited to them, they fall upon their faces in prostration. Who are these people? The people who had knowledge of the previous scripture. So when they hear the Quran, when it is recited to them, they fall upon their faces in sajda, in prostration, and they say, exalted is our Lord, Subhana Rabbina, Inkana Wa'adu Rabbina Lamafu'ula. Indeed, the promise of our Lord has been fulfilled. Because they were waiting for the Quran. They were waiting for it. They were excited about it when it finally came. And they celebrated. Allah says, and they fall upon their faces weeping, and it, the Quran, increases them in humble submission. وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا. This is a place of sajda again. To be excited about the Quran, to be eager for the next ayah, for the next surah, to want to hear the recitation of the Quran, to know what is in there, to love to understand the Quran. to celebrate the Quran and to cry when you hear the Quran, and to increase in khushu, in humility, in submissiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Quran does. Does it do that for us? Does it do all of these things for us? Allah says, say, call upon Allah or call upon the Most Merciful, Ar-Rahman. Whichever name you call, to Him belong the best names. And do not recite too loudly in your prayer or too quietly, but seek a way between that, meaning an intermediate way. The people of Makkah knew the word, the name, Allah, but they did not know His attributes, Ar-Rahman. It shows that one who loves Allah will call Him by different names. All of His names are beautiful. In fact, Allah says in the Quran, call Him with His beautiful names. And then there's another protocol with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we say salah or when we make dua. Like Aisha radiallahu anha says, this ayah is about dua. That do not scream out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but speak in a moderate way. And especially during salah, we need to say salah at a level where we can hear our own sound. Especially when we are praying by ourselves. Obviously, when we are praying in jama'ah, we are not allowed to disturb anyone else. But remember to say Suratul Fatiha because it is a pillar of salah behind the imam in jama'ah. Allah says, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, and say praise to Allah who has not taken a son and has no partner in His dominion and has no need of a protector out of weakness, and magnify Him with great magnification. How beautiful, what a beautiful, perfect way to praise Allah, because this is the praise that He Himself has sent down. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. And say praise to Allah who has not taken a son and has no partner in His dominion and has no need of a protector out of weakness, and magnify Him with great magnification. Alhamdulillah, we have completed Suratul Isra.